historyin2.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So we're seeing the calls. You've got South Carolina Congressman James Clyburn, who's saying, you know, now's the time for the DNC to shut everything down. Shut it all down. It's over. Biden's won. I think that could be the most idiotic thing to do at this moment. It's truly. I mean, if you want to lose in November, and this is the thing that is just amazing to me, and how tone deaf it seems to me that we get from the Democratic establishment. Well, shut it down. Shut it down now. Because it's over. You know, Bernie can't win. It's over. Shut it down. You want to lose all of those Sanders supporters? Try an idiotic move like shutting it down prematurely right now and not allowing voters to cast their votes in the coming weeks. Do that. That would be the greatest thing that you could do for Donald Trump come November. Because you know all those Bernie supporters who are still a little not happy? That would just send them completely. You want to lose the next generation for the next generation? Do that. But here to share some thoughts on the Super Tuesday 2 results, what happened in Michigan. And again, not surprising, the results that we saw so far. I've asked our good friend Bob Wiener to come talk with us. Bob's the president of Wiener Associates News. He was also a former spokesperson for the Clinton and the Bush White Houses. He's been like the guy for almost everybody in D.C. for almost ever. That's why we're glad to have him. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, thanks. Well, hey, nice of you to say, but what you do for labor and for getting the truth out is amazing on your show, so thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. I'm looking at this James Clyburn right now, and I'm sure you know him. I'm sure you
very
respect
well.
Him. This is the most idiotic thing that I've heard.
Yeah, I think what he did for Biden was amazing, though,
yep. Incredible.
In Carolina.
The most 50%. Incredible 100 hours in my political life. I mean, they really pulled it off.
And he really was kingmaker. And I thought that he should be the cover of Time magazine with his picture saying kingmaker. There's never been an endorsement as significant. The respect that he has. The polling showed that half of all the voters in Carolina said that Clyburn's endorsement was a major factor and the reason for them voting for Biden. And then Biden pulled it off and kept the momentum going, and the way that he parlayed what happened in South Carolina in the rest of Super Tuesday,
yep.
And then, of course, yesterday, was totally amazing.
No, I mean, you know, from South Carolina forward, I mean, they orchestrated what were fantastic moves, and I've been telling my fellow Bernie supporters, you know, you didn't get cheated, the game wasn't rigged, this is how the game is played, you just didn't play it better. They
yeah,
played
it's not
better.
The establishment. Bernie keeps saying, you know, and I like Bernie, by the way. What his perspective on things is really sharp, and he's right that the issues are largely formed by what he did. But he can't blame the establishment. It is the voters that voted. It isn't the establishment that ganged up on him.
Yeah, but you know, to be honest, they did play the game better. Biden's people just played it much better. They lined up the endorsements.
Right.
You had Buttigieg, you had Amy Klobuchar.
Right.
You know, look, if the progressives could have lined it up, Elizabeth Warren on Monday afternoon would have endorsed Sanders for Tuesday before Super Tuesday, and that would have given them a shot. It was never going to happen, but if they were playing the same game, and they're clearly not, that's what they would have done.
Well, I don't think Warren wanted to do that.
Of course not.
And I think the reason is because she really wants to defeat Trump. And when she realized that Biden was swelling with support and the country was overwhelmingly moving toward him, that she didn't want to just mess it up and start having a fight in the Democratic Party for a nomination that now people have confidence for the first time in about 3 months that Biden really can make it and get there. That's the other thing, Rick, is that Biden was blowing it.
Yeah.
He was stumbling. He was running a bad campaign. He was fumbling in his speeches. You could see Joe Biden standing next to him, And when Biden said, in conclusion, when he did that five times in one speech that I watched, and Joe Biden just staring down, he actually found his voice and found himself after Clyburn endorsed him, and now he has gotten the energy and the second wind to be strong, and now people think he can beat Trump.
No, and we'll see how this plays out, but here's the thing. This is the reason they want to cancel the debate. They don't want the stumbling. They don't want the appearance of what the campaign was doing prior to South Carolina. They want to sweep all this down the road.
Did I miss something? Has the debate been canceled?
No, everybody's calling for it to be canceled.
Oh, not everybody.
let me put it this way.
Yeah.
All of the people that I know who are Biden supporters say it's over. The Clyburn, this is where Clyburn said, it's over, cancel the debate.
Yes, but I don't think that's going to happen because I don't think Bernie wants that to happen. He wants to discuss the issues.
Right.
And you can't pee all Bernie. You cannot to him, to his supporters. You can't make it where this is no longer a valuable, he's no longer perceived as a valuable piece of the party.
Yep.
And Bernie wants to get the issues out. And even Bernie is saying, it's not about me, it's about the issues. Well, when somebody, and Krishnamoorthy is his campaign chair, co-chair, said the same thing. When people start saying that, you know they've conceded the game.
Right, no, and he has. And I've been saying all this time, I'm still a Bernie supporter, but it's more about the issues. It's more about pushing Biden in the direction that we want them to go instead of allowing him to move back to the center like politicians tend to do.
Well, that's
not
important.
Saying Biden's going to do it, but they tend to do that.
Right. I totally agree with you on that. I think Biden has been moved, but the point is to make the center electable also. If what you're pushing is something that turns the American people off, and we all learned, every one of us, if we admitted, was for Medicare for all, pure, simple, and really. Hey, guess what? We actually learned that the American people, most of them want to keep the health insurance that they have, and when Warren said people don't like their private, actually people do like their own health insurances. Pat likes hers, my wife, at George Washington. I like mine with Kaiser. So if you like your health insurance, what you want is the provisions and the costs to come down. And the way to do that is to fix Obamacare, keep the cost controls moving, but also give people a public option and let there be a Medicare for All virtual option in health care for people that don't have it and want to move in that way and then gradually move in that direction. But if you want to keep the health insurance that you have, you can't have it taken out from under you.
No, and there's part of me that agrees with that. But I've yet to find that person who says they just love their health insurance company. And most of the people that I know who would say they like it don't really use it much. Because I'll tell you, I have great health insurance. I've got the best health insurance that you can possibly find anywhere in this country. I've got good, solid Union Teamster health insurance.
Yep.
I just had a hip replaced. It's going to cost me about $300.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's going to cost me about $300 to get a hip replaced.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. More than the cost, by the way.
No, I've had a great experience. I'm doing really well. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, okay.
I'm in no pain whatsoever. In fact, the moment the surgery was over, I was in less pain than when I went in. Which is a good thing. But what I'm saying is I've yet to find those people who are so happy with their insurance when they use it. Because most people I know have high deductibles. Most people I know have co-insurance and all kinds of stuff that we shouldn't have to be dealing with. Here, it's over, right? The ACA, we're going to be strengthening that. I guess that's the angle, right?
That is the tough choice that had to be made. Rick, I think you're not reading a lot of people correctly.
Okay.
I love my Kaiser, and that's the point I was making.
You love Kaiser? You love Kaiser Permanente?
All I do is go to the doctor for everything, and I never spend more than $10 or $20 for a deductible, and that's it, no matter what the process. When I traveled to Chicago and had something serious that had to be done, I called up, cleared it with Kaiser on the way, and they said you'd have to pay no more than $100. When I got this bill for $7,000, I got on the phone with Kaiser. They said, no, it's the $100. And then they got a bill from the hospital in Chicago for $3,000. And then I tried once. Each time Kaiser conferenced in with me and fought with them and then said, ignore anything that they try to get from you. And that $100 of what I had to pay when I was abroad, in Chicago, that's it. That's all I wound up paying. A company that fights for you, with you like that, is something that you actually value.
Now, you're in Chicago, right? That's still in the U.S., right?
I was in Chicago at the time.
That's not abroad.
But I also, I also do something very, I think, that people have to do, which is if you're about to have a health care procedure, you call your health insurance company and clear what the cost is going to be before you get it so that there's documentation and they can't tell you afterwards you're not entitled to it.
All right. Well, you are officially the first person that I've met, honestly, who's said that they love their insurance company. Most other people are like, I'm okay with it. I like it. It is, it's covered me when I needed it. It's really expensive. I pay a lot for it. I'd like it to be less, like you said. But you're the very first person who said, I love it.
And then the other thing that Bernie did that hurt him was not being honest on the costs.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that Kudlow, I couldn't believe yesterday. I'm watching Kudlow, and we're going to do a payroll tax. And John Roberts asked him in the news conference, how much is it going to cost? Isn't it going to be $1.1 trillion? And where are you going to get the money for it? And Kudlow says, I don't know. We're going to figure that out later, and I'll get back to you. That's just outrageous when he did that. And people don't like being conned on costs that are big that they're going to have to wind up paying through their taxes.
No, I mean, Kudlow's point was, his point, what he meant, what he wanted to say but couldn't was, we don't care because the goal is to destroy Social Security anyway.
Hey,
so this is a win-win.
Yeah. That's smart on your part to realize that.
Yeah. So let's go to Michigan. The reason I got you. Were you surprised that Biden swept through Michigan the way he did, given that Bernie had done so well in 2016?
Well, I don't get surprised, and I won a $5 bet at the National Press Club by saying Biden was going to win by at least 15. That's what the polling showed. It looked scientific, and he won by 17. No, the Biden move, the surge was real. I was sorry, Rick. I didn't take verbatim. I was Conyers, press director and director of the Government Operations Committee for him, for media. And I was with him at his 90th birthday, 8 months ago, before he died. He said, I'm all in for Biden. I wrote the whole thing up on everything he said, all the issues, which he was very strong on, and included that. I wish I had done a press release on Conyers' deathbed endorsement of Biden. It might have been worth a point or two if we had gotten that out, and I thought of that after the fact. I was not surprised at all by Biden winning Michigan or the other states. The surge is for real.
Yeah, he was supposed to win the other states. I mean, I think most people...
Michigan, too. The polling showed it.
Yeah, I thought Michigan was the place where Bernie may have had a shot because of the trade issue. So, I'm starting to
Trade, Rick, was countered by Biden, Obama and Biden save the auto industry. That was the strong talking point that countered the trade talk.
Yeah, but my problem is we're going to head back to neoliberal trade. And I'm struggling with looking at Pennsylvania, looking at Ohio, Wisconsin, going back to those that trade situation with Biden. I just, it's one of those things that I really worry about.
Well, in every one of those states, I know there's actually some things that Trump does right. A broken clock works twice a day, right? So, on Wisconsin, on Pennsylvania, the polling shows that not Trump is the issue, and that's what the election of 2019, the elections of 2018, everything has been states flipping and 40 Congress seats going against Trump, and that's what the deal is now. I don't think there's a thing he can do. I think they're going to try to do Benghazi and make it on Hunter Biden this time, and then Biden's ready. He's going to say, you want to talk about sons and daughters? What about yours that are running around getting profits and patents and what about Jared on 777 in New York? And what about the five bankruptcies that Russian banks paid you off with because no U.S. bank would? He's going to hit Trump with corruption if they go after his son, and he's going to fight back, and he's going to fight back hard. And I just don't think there's anything that the Republicans can do that the American people aren't going to see as a con job this time.
Boy, from your lips, I hope you're right. I hope that is what he's able to do. But, I'll tell you, the past debate performances haven't given me a lot of faith. Just saying.
He was all right. He's gotten stronger and stronger.
He's all right. He wasn't horrible. He walked onto the stage knowing, had to know. It would be political malpractice if he didn't know that Kamala Harris was going to hit him over the busing issue.
And that
he
was
had,
wrong.
He had not
ridiculous.
An answer anywhere near him. I mean, it was bad. And there were a couple other moments where
he was ready for Kamala on busing, and certainly Bloomberg wasn't ready for Warren on the women, and you know, people aren't ready. But there are things that Trump isn't going to be ready for. I think Biden can have Reagan-esque lines in his debates. You know, don't hit me with age; you're young and inexperienced, and all of that. I think he will have comebacks ready, and I think he will use them. And it doesn't take a whole debate performance to beat somebody. It takes one or two sound bites that the media plays over and over.
No, you're absolutely right. The media giveth, and they also taketh away. And Trump, I think, is going to learn that. That you know, at least I hope. I hope the media doesn't, continue their what they did in 2016, which was just horrible. So let me ask you this, because you know, as I started off with, I think Clyburn's call to end the primary right now is a bad idea.
It's ridiculous.
I think the call to not have this debate coming up is a horrible idea, and you
agree.
And
it's not going to happen. The American people won't stand for that.
And I'm with you. At least I hope. How do
they've advertised Sunday? They can't say coronavirus is dangerous. They've already taken the audience away.
Yeah, I think that's going to be great. I've been wondering if they're going to have like applause lines or like laugh tracks. You know, like they do for sitcoms.
Well, I am concerned about the formatting and what it's going to look like and how deadly, silent and boring it could turn into. That is a problem.
Yeah, no, I think you've got to add some laugh tracks.
The audience reactions are sort of like background music that spike things up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to have something. But the question I've got is, look, at the end of this, it does look like it's over. It does look like it's going to be Biden.
Game up.
How do you get those Sanders supporters to then, go, okay, we're gonna vote for Biden. He's not our guy. He's not the person we wanted. He's not going to push the policies that we want. But he's not Trump. How do you make that conversion?
Well, I'm going to tell you, the kids, one of their motivating issues was gun safety and school safety. I'm hosting a news conference at the National Press Club. Actually, you're the first time announcing this. At the National Press Club on the 24th with the March for Our Lives leaders who are going to come in and talk about the gun issue and what needs to be done because it hasn't been done and gun safety throughout with background checks and assault weapons and magazines and what the states have done versus what the feds have done and all of that. That issue that Biden is very, very, very strong on is a key motivator for kids. And the other thing is he's got to be strong on climate, and he's got to invite the kids in and say how important it is to battle the NRA and to beat Trump. And that's one of the issues that they really care about.
Yeah. But here's the thing, Joe's not going to take their AR-14s.
Well, he's not quite as strong as Beto on it in takeaways. That's
no.
True.
Did you see the clip of him at the auto factory where he got into the for? And I don't know why he got into it.
I don't know what you're. He's the guy who did. He's the guy who made the Brady bill happen and have the ban of the assault weapons. He's got a record to prove that he's strong on that.
But he got into an argument with a guy on a shop floor the other day, and yelling profanity at him. Saying he's not going to take your AR-14s away. It's actually an AR-15. And this is where I go, it's just Joe being Joe. I know he's a gaffe machine. But how many of those can you have?
Rick, mislabeling a gun by a number is not going to make the election different.
I sure hope not, man.
You're talking about a president who's done 17,000 lives and a day?
Dude, I'm with you on that. But here's the thing. There's a huge difference. There's an enormous difference. All the people who support Donald Trump don't care. And I would argue a lot of them aren't even smart enough to know better.
We're not trying to change the 40%. We just want 60.
Okay.
That's the difference. And seriously, the middle, the independents, those are the ones that are outraged by the things that aren't racist and bigoted and the reasons that most people support Trump. Those are the things that matter in America. And the independents and the Democrats... And by the way, there are fewer and fewer Republicans. People forget that when Trump came in, there were 32% of the country that were Republican. Now there's 26%. He has lost a quarter of his base.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that that translates into not only him being swept out, but also a number of those senators. So the Democrats
right.
take the Senate back. Because to me, the Senate is the most important thing. I know everybody
right.
wants the White House. The Senate is where all the really, really bad stuff can be stopped. And, hey, we're going to need it anyway if we're going to move anything forward in that first year.
Well, there's a real chance, even against McConnell and Susan Collins, you know.
And Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham is, I don't know if Jamie Harrison is capable. It's a 5-point difference now. I mean, it would take a huge wave for that to overturn. But there are enough seats out there, Arizona, you know, and Colorado. There are enough seats that Hickenlooper is going to win. Of course, Doug Jones in Alabama is going to lose. So
yeah.
whatever we try to win, if we're trying to do +2, it's got to be +3 and all of that. So it's not as impossible as it seems to have a wave election, that and there's always surprise people that lose. From leadership on down, there are surprise people that just lose when there's a wave election. So it's not hopeless.
Nope. And from your lips, Moscow Mitch goes back to Kentucky, and we
yeah.
never have to hear from him again. But, Bob, I appreciate
Scarborough really did a contribution in branding that, didn't he?
Did he do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was a couple of other people, but yeah. what the hell? We'll give him credit for it.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Bob, I appreciate the time, the thoughts. Always great. Always great having your expertise and your knowledge.
It was a pleasure, Ricky. It's so much fun talking with you. Thanks for having me.
You as well, my good friend. Thank you so much. Bob Wiener, Wiener and Associates News. You can check out their stuff. We'll get links out. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.